We're going to take our hymn books and go to 516. We're going to sing We Have an Anchor. Let's stand together, 516, as everyone comes and joins us back again. 516. 516. In the songbook, verse number 3. It will firmly hold.
Thing about knowing God, some tangible things you can do to know God better. One is pray 30 minutes a day, 30 minutes 2 days a week, or just set a goal if you haven't done it before, 30 minutes 1 day a week. And if you miss it that week, then do it as soon as you can the next week. 30 minutes a day doesn't make us close to God, but it will make us closer to God. Go in the woods, see the glory of God, raise your hand in the air, raise two hands in the air, walk, pray, lay on your back, bow on your knees, lay on your stomach till you connect with God. Just connect with God, okay? So 30 minutes of prayer. How tangible things you could do to get closer to God. Read the Bible every day, chapter at least, but 15 minutes, 10 to 15 minutes, other days longer. Read the Bible, proclaim the Bible, believe the Bible, proclaim God's word to yourself and to God. God, you said, and tell him what he said. Might God said, believe it. So read. Claim the words of God's. God's word will be verified in your life. So pray, read, rest in the Lord. Rest is a mental state. I realize He cares for me. I'm going to be okay. It'll work. So it's a state of mind. It's a faith, resting in the Lord. Realize He cares for you. He counts the stars. He names them all by name. He knows when a bird falls in the middle of nowhere. I'm not a woman, but I feel really good knowing that God knows when a bird falls. And if He cares about a bird, He certainly cares about me, my family, my kids, all I've got to get done. I rest in the Lord. He feeds the birds, and I'm of more value to Him than many birds. So pray. Tangible things you can do. 30 minutes a day, once a week at least. If you don't get it this week, get it next week. Don't miss it out. Don't miss out on it. You need your oxygen. That's what makes you a man of God. You have to walk with God. So pray. 30 minutes. Get something going there. Read the Bible. Rest. It's just a mental state. I believe it. I'm going to rest in God. I'm not going to fall apart. I'm going to be fine. We're going to be fine. And then the last one is praise, as Pastor mentioned. Praise. Pray is prayer. I like that. So sometimes talk about praising God. It'll work. It'll build you. Praising God was how you'll know Him. At one time, I was in a meeting, and I thought, Mike, you just got to get close to God. You got to have that. So I went in to pray, and I decided, I'm not going to pray for anything. I'm just going to praise. And I was going to go through the Father, all the attributes of God. And then I was going to go to the Son, all the attributes of God, just praise Him for that. And then the Holy Spirit. And you know what I really enjoyed? I was sharing this with one of the friends here. I prayed 30 minutes just praising God the Father for all of His attributes. And I didn't even get time to get to the Son. So I did that the next day. And I loved it. And try to do that in your flesh. You can't. So it's not something we make happen. It's something we get to do because God communes with us. And as we commune with Him, He actually communes back to us in our minds. And we enjoy God. Praise God. That's a big thing. Betty Marvin was my pastor's wife. And when I was growing up, and I called her shortly before she died when she was 84. I called her about 6 months before she died. And she was going through the COVID like we all were. And she said, I was told that COVID will make me sick and that I'm supposed to wash my hands and I'm supposed to sing happy birthday 2 times or I'll die. So she said, I am not doing that. She said, I'm washing my hands. I'm singing through the doxology. So here's Betty Marvin, and she's going, praise God from whom all blessings flow. You see what she's doing with her mind? It's a happy birthday to you. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above, ye heavenly hosts. And Betty Marvin could sing. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen. She's getting her mind on God. And if you got a lot of pressure on you, you can sing, Amen. Just take as long as you need. Get your mind on God. And then you will be fine. So rest in Him, pray, grow in the Lord. We know Him, about Him, but we know Him personally. And if you know Him personally as Savior, that's a good thing, isn't it? If that's all we ever got, we'd be blessed people, blessed men. But we can actually know God intimately, and that's even better. That's good. That's better, but this is best, knowing God intimately. All right, let's take our Bibles this time, and let's go to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. And if you don't mind, unless your knees hurt and your back hurts, let's go ahead and stand together and we'll read the Word of God again. All right. Galatians chapter 5, and we'll read verse 22 and 23. How many feel God's already doing a work in your life? Had in the prayer time, that was good. And I really like the singing. And so don't miss this afternoon's service, the 3 o'clock, if you can be here. If you have to work, quit your job. But God's going to continue to do good things. And we're going to sing a little bit more in that second service, I think, than... But anyway, been great. All right, Galatians 5, 22 and 23. It says, but the fruit, actually verse 16, back up to there. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to each other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like. Of which I tell you before, as I have told you in time past, they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit, when you have Jesus in you, who is the Holy Spirit, is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. They that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Heavenly Father, we pray that you guide us and use us this time for each of us from your book that you wrote and your wisdom that you gave. In Christ's name we pray, amen. Thank you, and you can be seated. When I was growing up, my mom would have certain girls that she would look at, she'd say, Mike, what about her? And I would say, well, she's a nice girl, but I don't know, I'm just not attracted to her. And people say, well, you don't worry about that, you just worry about if she's a good lady and godly. And I thought, well, I do want her to be godly, but I do kind of want to be able to think she's pretty too, you know. I hope that's not bad. And I got a godly woman and a beautiful woman because I'm so handsome. I got a beautiful one. What are you laughing at? But anyway, then she would come to me and say, what about this girl? And I'd say, well, I'm not just, she's nice and loves the Lord. She's great. She's a lot of fun, but I don't know. I'm just not attracted to her, Mom. And what about this one? And I said, Mom, that's about the ugliest woman I've ever seen. And things like that. Now, that woman actually ended up being, once she got a little bit older, she was actually somewhat cute, you know. But anyway, sometimes we look at people and we say, that person's beautiful, that person's just not so attractive, of course. But we see beauty in every person. Beauty is in the eye of the beholder and all that. But when we think of beauty and we think of ugly, we often just think of the external, which is absolutely silly in one sense. The ugliest flesh in the world is not somebody's face, but the ugliest flesh in the world is somebody's heart. And if the heart is ugly, the whole person is ugly, no matter how pretty or handsome they might be. Now, this passage is telling us as Christians that we are to walk in the Spirit and not in the flesh. And the flesh is talking about that sin nature, that something that's grotesque in you and mean in you, contrary to spiritual. So I want to talk to us today about being men that really are Spirit-filled, that walk in the Spirit, not in the flesh. And the ugliest flesh in the world is our moral flesh, not our physical flesh. And so we want to be men that don't give in to the moral flesh. Everybody here has flesh. Anybody feel like there have been times you walked in your flesh and been ashamed of that and you want to do better? Me too. So let's talk about the ugliest flesh in the world, which is our moral flesh. Now, first thing, the description of the flesh. Now, what is the flesh? There's self-strength that's often referred to as opposed to strength from God. Matthew 26:41, watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, that your physical spirit wants to do right, but your flesh is weak. And God talks about how we can have victory over sin. Sin shall not have dominion over you, for you're not under the law, but you're under grace. And God's special power to make you righteous, but also the special power of God to help you live righteous. So there's God's enabling instead of our self-strength. Self-strength, the arm of flesh will fail you. That is, in a sense, of your flesh. But what I'm going to refer to is the Bible referring to sinful desires or sinful thinking, that carnal old nature as opposed to the divine Spirit of God. Romans 7:14, we know the law is spiritual, but I am carnal. There's something in me carnal. David said, behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. There's something ugly in me, God. It came at my birth. I don't like it. See that I'm a human and forgive me. But he's talking about that sin nature. And so we all have that in us. Now, we are either going to be people that walk in the flesh or walk fleshly, or we'll be people that walk in the Spirit or walk as spiritual men. Now, many times people think that they're giants in the faith, but they're fleshly and they're not spiritual. Now, we can be people that think because we know the Bible and because we go to church and because we teach Sunday school and we serve God and we impart our wisdom to other people that we are spiritual men of God. We've led people to Jesus, so we're spiritual giants. When in reality, we can be thinking ourselves to be spiritual, but yet we're completely in our flesh. And often in our flesh more than we realize. Now, how can we tell if we're in our flesh? When a mechanic tries to fix an automobile, he'll ask, what's it doing? Then he can identify the problem. And you can identify, and I can identify, when I'm fleshly, the same way. What am I doing? And if I'm doing certain things, then I know what the problem is. It's my flesh. Like if a car has a noise, so you say to the mechanic, what's wrong with it? Well, when I stop, it goes. When I try to start, it goes. And the ladies are very good at giving mechanics descriptions. But once they hear that certain sound or they hear what it's doing, then they can identify the problem. Your problem is probably your alternator's gone. Your problem is probably your turbo's shot, or it might be your O2 sensor, or whatever it might be. And so what they'll do is they will say, well, what's it doing? And then they get an idea what the problem is. Now, how can we identify what our problem is? We got to see what we're doing. Now, look at verse 19. It says, now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like. Now, as we look at these things, if we're doing any of these things, then we know what's the problem. That's our flesh. And we're letting it take control. We're not God haters. We're not losers. We're not people that can't do better, can't act better, can't get our act together. It's just that's our flesh. And we're letting it take control. Now, it's broken up in different categories that men often struggle with. The first one is sexual sins. All right, look at verse 19. It says adultery, fornication, uncleanness, and lasciviousness. Now, adultery would be a man cheating on his wife. Fornication would be somebody who's not married having a sexual relationship or sexual sin of any form outside the boundaries of marriage. Uncleanness could be your thoughts. And then lasciviousness would be the public display of sexual sin and being boastful and proud in it. That would be like the gay pride movement. We're doing this and we're proud of it and we're good and you're evil to say that what we are doing is evil. That would be the bold and brazen sin. And that would be somebody like he's living with somebody he's not married to, and he's still calling himself a Christian. And he doesn't care what people think. Now, whether it be that you are in adultery, or whether it be that you just have a mind, and there's not a guy that hasn't struggled with sexual sin. All of us have had temptation. At least in the mind. And so, whether it be some heinous, ugly thing, or whether it just be the uncleanness of your mind, that's your flesh. And we need to remember something, it's not acceptable. And it's not just the adultery and the fornication. It's not acceptable before God that we want to get to know and be close to, and we got to get all the roadblocks out. It's not acceptable to justify impure thoughts, even if you don't think that, even if you think there's a justifiable reason. Okay? So if there's any of this, identify what's wrong with you. That's your flesh, and we got to fix it, okay? Now then there's the religious sin, and that is found in verse 20, idolatry and witchcraft. Now, idolatry, the word is pharmacy or drugs. The whole practice of drugs would fit into this thing of idolatry. But anyway, witchcraft, pharmakeia, I think. But anyway, the whole practice. Now, we're not devil worshipers, and we would certainly not pray to an idol. I went into a Chinese restaurant, and I saw this thing up on the wall, and they had a Buddha, and they had food on there on a plate. So I asked the guy in the Chinese restaurant, what's that? He said, that's Buddha. I said, okay, what's the food on there for? Oh, we give food to Buddha. I said, really? Why? It helps business. I said, oh, does he ever eat it? He said, no, he never eat it. I said, he never eat it. So why you put it up there? He says, for good business, help business. He says, sometime we forget, but people still come. So anyway, he realized that really didn't make the big of a difference. But we are not doing that kind of thing. We don't have a Buddha in our backyard. But the other way that we could be people in the flesh spiritually would be if we put other gods above Jehovah gods. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Now listen, what god could we put above Jehovah God? We could put hunting. We could put an RV. We could put a bass boat. After all, I paid all this money for my RV, and it would not be a wise steward of the money that I spent for me to go to church every week. I got to use my RV sometime. You know what I say? Get rid of your RV and get back in church. Don't put a fishing boat above God. That's your flesh. That's idolatry spiritually, okay? So we want to make sure that we're walking in the Spirit and not in the flesh. How can you tell if you're in your flesh? Well, I'm a man of God. I go out and I pray in my boat. I'm a man of God. I go pray in the trees. All right? If you are doing any of these things, that's your flesh. And you have to understand what's the problem. Okay, now the next one is the temperamental sins. Verse 20 and 21. Hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, hating people. I hate that guy. I hate that church. They're so hateful. I hate them. As I was kidding around. But we do kid, but then there are people that we really hate. Hate that guy at work. I hate him. Hate that boss. I hate him. That's your flesh. It is the opposite of spiritual. We don't have parentheses in our lives as Christians where we say, well, I'm godly today. I love everybody, but I'm at work. Come on, this is work, so I hate him. It's okay. This is the context of work. Whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, to all the glory of God, including going to work with somebody that you don't like working for. So that's your flesh. Hatred, variance, emulations, wrath. Wrath would be when you feel that anger inside of you. Strife. Verbal disputes. Anybody ever argue with your spouse? You know what that is? You know what that is? Listen, you know what that is? And I've done the same thing. I had to one day realize that's my flesh. You know why? Because the Bible says so. So it is. Well, yeah, but no, Bible says so, so it is. And here's what it says. Only by pride cometh contention. And the word only means only. So you know what that means? That when you and I have verbal disputes with our wife or verbal disputes with anybody, somebody's got pride. That's our flesh. And so we can be thinking, oh, we're spiritual, but yet be very fleshly. And sometimes we just got to take an honest look at ourselves and say, this has got to get fixed. And that's what we want. We want to get fixed. We don't want to be this way. We're not God haters. We're not losers. We do love God. We're not no good. We have a lot of good things about us. But that's our flesh. And it's not acceptable. Not acceptable. And then he goes on and he says, murder. And that's where it ultimately leads. But we'll talk about that maybe in a second. Now, God then included words in such like because he knew that there would be more corruption developing in the world. And he wants us to understand, I don't have to put a cell phone in the Bible for you to identify. You can be very fleshly with this thing. And so we've got to discern whether it be a computer, a TV, whether it be my thought life. I do not want to walk in the flesh or be fleshly. Because the flesh kills and destroys. Now, the first thing is the identifying the flesh. The second thing I want to look at is the decaying of the flesh. Now, how do you decay the flesh? All right, as a simple illustration, we've got the physical flesh, and the physical flesh can constantly decay. That's why we take baths. That's why we take showers. That's why we brush our teeth. Now, I don't care how handsome Brother Shane is up here, okay? If he didn't brush his teeth for a week, and if he didn't take a bath for 2 weeks, and if he didn't shave and sharpen up, he would look like any homeless person on the street in a short time. And so would I, and so would you. And that's why we have hygiene, because our flesh is constantly decaying. So we've got to keep clean. We've got to keep fresh. And the same spiritually, your spiritual flesh and my spiritual flesh can decay. Now, it doesn't matter how much of an athlete that I might be. I am not going to get from here to the swan in one jump. It's going to take a series of steps and a series of steps, and eventually I'll get there. And the same is true. I'm probably not going to get into the worst debauched, wretched sins. I'm not going to get into divorce. I'm not going to get into filthy pornography. I'm not going to get into adultery. I'm not going to get into homosexuality. Hey, there's not a sin that is not in you if you let your flesh decay. Now, it ain't anywhere around, But I'm telling you, you could be in adultery in short time. If you just decay and you let your flesh go a little bit here and you take that little flirting and you give it just a little bit back and then you say something else and you do something else and then you affectionately touch her shoulder, it wouldn't be too long before you will be right where you thought you would never be. Now, a good question to ask yourself is, how far down the road of decay have you gone? And if you sense you're going the wrong direction on any one of these things, let's fix it. And there's a way to fix it. We're going to talk about it, okay? But let's look at decaying of the flesh, all right? Now, first of all, look at the sensual sins. And to me, I thought this was pretty amazing how it's put in the Bible, almost like in the order of decaying and getting worse and getting worse, okay? Now, I don't remember what study I was reading, but I saw this and I thought, wow, that is right there. And this is just in our Bibles. It's amazing how it talks about decaying in our flesh. All right, first of all, notice the sexual sins in verse 19. Adultery. Sexual sin with somebody else besides your spouse. Now, not trying to be distasteful in any way, I hope I'm not, but in the boundaries of marriage, the marriage bed is undefiled. It's acceptable. So it doesn't mean that you can't engage in that with the woman that God has for you. God says it's wonderful, it's pure, it's good, it's something for you. So you have the right to participate, but in those boundaries. But then it goes to fornication. And that's sexual sin outside of the boundaries of marriage. You don't even have a right to be involved in that in any way. Then it goes to uncleanness, all kinds of perversions. And I don't want to be distasteful, but there are some very perverted things, ungodly things out there. As the world continues to decay, so do people. And lasciviousness would be that brazen boldness, the gay pride. I'm living with somebody I'm not married to, and it's my right. I could do what I want. I'm an adult, all right? So do you see the decay in the sexual? You'll see that decay in your life. First the thought, then the look, then the look, and before long, it's horrible. And so you want to ask yourself, have you decayed spiritually? If you have, don't be overwhelmed. Let's fix it because we can. That's what we're here for. Now, then it goes to the religious sins. It starts with idolatry, and then it goes to witchcraft. Idolatry would be bowing down to an idol. Witchcraft would be praying to the devil himself. And there's some decay there, okay? Now, temperamental sins, okay? Temperamental sins, starting with hatred. Man, I don't even like my wife anymore some days. I don't even like that woman. Then it goes to wrath. Oh, she's driving me crazy. Then it goes to verbal disputes. And then you're starting to fight. And then it could lead to separation. You stay on your side of the house. Seditions mean separations, I think. You go on your vacation. I'll go on my vacation. Just you stay over here, and I'll stay over here, and then you just kind of coexist under the same roof. And then where does it lead to? Divorce. And then where could it lead and decay to? Ultimately, murder. Now, there's not a person in this room who doesn't have murder in them because you've got flesh. Not a man in this room who doesn't have adultery in him because you've got flesh. I've got flesh. It's in me. Not anywhere around right now, praise God. But I could get there real fast if I let my flesh decay. Now, then it goes to the temperamental sins, and then it goes to other sins. Now, how far down the road have you gone in the area of your flesh? I have a friend of mine spending time in jail. He's in jail for 20-some years. And he got out. He's serving the Lord now. He's doing okay. But we were in college together, and he was a missionary. He was going to be a missionary, and he was a funny guy. We did a skit together, and he and I were in the skit together. He looked at me, and he went, He looked at him, and he burst out laughing. He was a naturally funny guy. Good guy, wanted to serve God. But then one day he got picked up by the police for three accounts of attacking women at gunpoint. Spent the next 20 years. I went to prison to visit him. They wouldn't let me in. And I looked in there through the window and I saw stories and stories of jail cells and arms hanging out. And I realized two of those arms could very well be his. 20 plus years. Now, years ago, I can remember when he was at college, I'd see him talking to his girlfriend and they would be looking at each other in the eyes and like, and I was thinking back then, there's something going on here. That's weird. But you know what it was? It was the mind. It was going a little too far. And then, later, he was found with pornography in his room. You know what somebody said? That's not my stuff, he said. It's not my stuff. Somebody's trying to get me kicked out of Bible college, man. They're framing me. And later on, he was found with it again. And he goes, those guys are really trying to get me. But now that everybody knows he's been in jail for three accounts of molesting women, two at gunpoint, everybody knows it was his stuff. And what happened? It was a decaying, a decaying, a decaying, a decaying. And here's what's happening. Some of you, it started with just your thought life. Then you found out you could see something if you looked somewhere. And then before long, you looked again and you felt horrible, but you did it again. And again, before long, really bad stuff going on. You gotta get out of your flesh. It's gonna lead you down. There's not a man who doesn't have flesh. How far have you decayed? Are you and your wife just coexisting? Are you and wife in love? If you're just coexisting, it's because somebody's in the flesh. The fruit of the Spirit is love. Now, the destruction of the flesh, let's go ahead and look at this real quickly. Turn your Bible to James chapter 1. And in James chapter 1, we're reminded of things that we know, but there is a God. Is that true? Is it? The Bible is His book. Is that true? So everything that it says, no matter how many times you hear it, it's still truth that's got to be processed and believed because it's true. All right, James 1:13. Let no man say when he is tempted, I'm tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. God wanted me to be tempted. No, he didn't. But the temptation is there. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. So we can't blame God. We can't blame our wife. We can't blame the circumstances for bitterness, for lust, for anger, for hate. No justification. Not acceptable. It's not acceptable. And so we've got to start by not acceptable. That's not acceptable. No, I'm not looking at pornography. But what I just thought was not acceptable. No. That's my flesh. So you got to nip it in the bud while it's in the beginning stages. But then, every man's tempted when he's drawn of his own lust and enticed. Don't blame anybody else. Own it. It's your flesh, and you let it take control. But then verse 15, then lust, when it conceives, it bringeth forth what? That's what my problem is. My flesh, or my lust. And I let it take control. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Now, there are some extreme illustrations of this, but even smaller illustrations of it. But the extreme ones that we might think of, cigarette smoking, okay, is an illustration. It's just a good one. There are people here that love God, but you haven't decided to end your love affair with cigarettes. You can do that. There are unsaved people that end that love affair with cigarettes every day because they love health more than they love cancer. But if an unsaved person can end his love affair with cigarettes, then don't you think a man empowered by God, supernaturally enabled, can end his love affair with cigarettes? But I was in Canada, and I can remember looking on the labels in Canada of the cigarette cartons, because they had color, and I thought, what is that? So I got a little closer, and I saw, ooh, they had a full-color picture of a lung with cancer. It was not pretty. Like, in America, we put warning. Surgeon General says smoking causes carbon monoxide or carbon dioxide or something. I think, well, so does my car. But in Canada, they're not messing around. They say, warning, Surgeon General says smoking causes lung cancer. And they got a full-color picture of a lung with cancer in it. That makes you think twice when you buy cigarettes. Now, I'm not just preaching about cigarettes, but if it helps somebody to get over their cigarette habit, I'll be glad. Because you will do better with God if you get rid of the things that defile the temple of God that you think would come between you and God. So anyway, then they say, warning, Surgeon General says smoking causes birth defects, and they have a full-blown picture of a deformed baby because of cigarettes. Warning, Surgeon General says chewing tobacco causes mouth cancer. And then they showed a picture on the wall of a guy who had no jaw. They had to amputate. You know what they realized? If you have a lust for cigarettes and you do the sin of cigarette smoking, then you may have death from cigarette smoking. Now that's an extreme, but it's a reality. I had one time where there were two boys that were in a Christian school where I preach, and one of them found out that you could get a buzz by sniffing butane. So he went out with his buddy, they went to a gas station, bought a cigarette lighter, and if you do this, you'd be absolutely foolish. He took a paper bag and he cupped it around his hand and they poured the butane in, and so he was going to get his buzz for the first time. And he goes like this, and he took one sniff of the butane, true story, fell backwards dead. His lust for getting high brought forth the sin of getting high, and when it was finished, it brought death by trying to get high. So those are illustrations, but it sometimes would be the death of your relationships, the death of your joy, the death of your fellowship with God. And so the flesh brings death. So we don't want to walk in the flesh. We want life. The Spirit brings life, okay? Now, how far down the decay have you gone sexually? I don't need to know. You might be embarrassed, but that flesh will just take you further unless you learn how to walk in the Spirit instead of the flesh, and you can. How far down the road have you gone on the temperamental sins? You can get victory. How far down the road have you gone with putting things above God and almost making them so important to you that, well, God understands if I don't go to church. God understands if I don't have time to read the Bible. God understands because, hey, I got this RV. I got this commitment to the baseball team. What about your commitment to God? So that's all flesh, because that's what the Bible says. That is flesh, okay? So that's what it is. So we're walking in the flesh, or we're going to walk in the Spirit. Now, let's look at deliverance from the flesh, okay? Deliverance from the flesh, because I need it. I need it. And I'm preaching to you things that I needed and I continually need, and we all need, because we all have flesh. All right, let's look back at Galatians chapter 5, and I really think that some of the things I'm going to tell you will be transforming if you don't already know them. If you do already know them, it'll still be transforming if you keep doing it. And walk in the Spirit, not in the flesh. All right, now here's the way for us biblically to get victory over sexual sins. Here's the way for us to get victory over anger and arguing. Here's the way to get victory over a thought life that keeps going the wrong way. Here's the way to get victory over cigarettes, etc. All right, verse 16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. It won't happen. If you walk in the Spirit, you won't walk in the flesh. Now, this might sound too easy, but let me tell you why it really is true. As an illustration, how many of you ever played soccer when you were younger? Okay. You know the best way to never get scored on? Here's the best defense you could ever have. The best defense is offense. If you keep the ball on the offensive side, they're never going to score against you. Now, obviously, there's a lot more to the game, but the best defense is offense in a way. And if you keep offensively, offense spiritually, I'm going to walk in the Spirit, and I'm consciously not thinking, I got to fight the flesh, I got to fight the flesh, I got to fight the flesh, I got to fight the flesh. Think, I want to walk with God, I'm going to walk with God, I'm going to walk with God, I want to walk with God. This step with God, that step with God, this step with God. Walk in the Spirit, and the best defense against sin is the offense. Walk with God on purpose, by choice. You know, if you think about it, it's pretty much clear how God wants us to live. Am I right? When I was a boy, my dad was still alive. I can remember him walking in the yard, and he had his big rubber boots, big feet, and he'd walk like this through the yard, like this. So you know what I would do? Because the snow was real high, or just because I thought it was fun, I would walk in the same steps. I'm 57. I can't do it. But you know what I'm talking about? Walking in the footprints already in the snow, right? God's already put the footprints in the snow usually. So all we got to do is on purpose say, God, where do you want me to go? How do you want me to respond? I'm not going to get proud and argue. I'm going to be firm. I'm going to say what I need to say. I'm going to be kind. I'm going to say this is what we need to do. I'm not trying to argue. This is what we're going to do. I love you, but this is what we're going to do. But I'm not going to argue and get in my flesh. Boy, look at that beautiful lady over there. Man, she looked good. Yeah. God says, uh-uh. I'm going to walk in the footprints, and I'm going to walk away because I want to walk with God. God, I'm going to walk with you today. I don't want that. I love you more than I want that. I don't want that. I want to walk in the Spirit, and I will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Now, walk in the Spirit, I guess, is reliance on God to change me. Reliance on God. Rely on Him to give me strength. God, you say that you give me grace. Grace is power when I need it. Sin shall not have dominion over you. That's Romans 6:14. You're not under the law, but you're under grace. So you got to know what you know to be true. It's true. And the devil says you've got to do it. That's just who you are. Tell the devil that's a lie. You tell me I have to. God says I don't have to. I'll do that if I want to do it, not because I have to do it. And then you finish it up and you say, and because I love God, I'm not going to do it. I'm going to walk in the Spirit. I'm going to walk in the footprints of Jesus and the way that He would have me to do. Now, here are a couple things that I think will help us, and we'll wrap up and we will be on time. It is, in essence, walking with the Spirit would be more like this. It would be yielding to the Spirit. Now, if you don't mind, I know we're all men, but can we say that together? Yielding to the Spirit. Ready? Yielding to the Spirit. Again. Yielding to the Spirit. And basically, how many have ever had that, like the old commercial on TV when somebody's wanting to lose weight, the Weight Watchers has this one angel saying, don't eat that. And the devil saying, eat that. And the angel saying, don't eat it. And then the demon saying, eat that. Well, it's kind of like that. Anybody ever feel like a pull going this way? Do the right thing. Here's what God wants. And then feel like the devil or the flesh is pulling you this way? The Bible says that's going to happen. The flesh lusteth against the Spirit and the Spirit against the flesh in Galatians. Now, here's where walking in the Spirit is. And here's walking in the flesh. It's wrapped up in this word, yielding. Now, I used to think that either God's going to be in charge of my life or I'm going to be in charge of my life. You know, Then people will say, I'm not going to let God tell me what to do. No, I'm never going to preach. God's called me. No, I'm not going to preach. I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to let God be in charge of my life. I'm going to be in charge of my life. I'm going to do what I want to do. We are never going to be in charge of our life. We are always going to be in the position of a servant. Now, the Bible says this, no man can serve two masters. This is a good verse to remember. He will love the one and hate the other. He will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God or mammon and mammon. Matthew 6:24. But get this. You will, and I will, we will serve God or mammon. One or the other. But we have an awesome opportunity, and that opportunity is to choose which master we're going to serve. Now, who's going to be a better master? The flesh or the Holy Spirit? Who's going to make our life better? The devil, the flesh, or God? So we're in the position of a servant, and that's what we got to think of. I'm always in a position of a servant. I'm never in charge of my life. But I'll have the flesh telling me go this way, and I have the Spirit of God telling me go this way. And then I have the awesome privilege of saying, yes, flesh, I think I will. That won't end very well. Or I have the awesome privilege of saying, yes, Lord, I'll do what you want. And when you do what God wants, you end up about three steps down that road going, phew, boy, I'm glad I went this way. And if you do what the flesh wants, you end up about two steps down. You're going, boy, what am I doing? Am I right? So choose to surrender. Now, here's where we get this. Romans chapter 6, verse 11 and 12. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body. If sin reigns, it's because you what? Let it reign. Let's say that. Let it reign. Let not sin therefore reign. So if sin reigns, it's because I let it reign. If sin reigns in your life, it's because you let it reign. I used to think, I just can't change. It's just the way I am. But then I realized, wait, the Bible says differently. If sin reigns, if you think the way you shouldn't think, if you look at what you shouldn't look at, if you get angry and say what you shouldn't say, if you argue with your parents or your brothers or your sister or your teacher or your wife, if you argue, God says don't. It's not acceptable. Only by pride comes contention. Somebody's got pride. It's probably you. Swallow your pride, and you won't argue with your wife. So then, it is, I yield to that flesh, or I say, no, I yield to God. Yes, Lord. So it's more a yielding. And if you can think of the yielding, choosing the master, and God's a better master. You always have God telling you this way, this way, this way, do this, do this. This is what I want you to do. And I always have God telling me, and I know when I'm walking away from God. Now, years ago, I can remember I had an anger problem, and of course, I still can have it. But I don't have it like I used to have it. I'm not proud of it, but once in a while, I get a little bit like I shouldn't get in the anger issue, okay? And so, it's my choice when I do it, and I make the wrong choice. But that flesh pops up, and the flesh can get stronger, just like as you exercise your muscle, it can get stronger. If you have a sexual sin, you exercise yourself onto ungodliness and you'll get stronger, and it will get stronger and hard to break. But it can always be broken because greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. If you've got an anger problem, you can exercise yourself onto ungodliness, just like you can exercise yourself onto godliness. You can exercise yourself to be a guy who's, that's just me, I'm just a man. I'm just tough. No, you're just not godly. That's what it is. And so I had a problem with an anger problem. And I was the kind of guy when I was younger in high school, I didn't like the official who called a call against me. So I made a fist and I hit the brick wall. How stupid was that? Another time I had an anger problem and I got out of control and I hit a steel beam. That wasn't smart either. My mom made me mad. because she wouldn't let me date somebody that I thought I wanted to date, and I had to cut down a tree, and I only had an axe. Well, I took that thing down. It was about that wide. I took that thing down like three swings. I was so mad. That was my anger out of control. I remember when I got married, we had a situation, we had a baby come along, and I can remember we would take turns feeding the baby, and I remember saying one night, "Hey, Becky, it's your night, baby's crying, feed the baby." And I was so tired. She said, "I did last night." I said, no, I did last night. "No, I fed the baby last night, Mike. Feed the baby." All right. Being a giant in the faith as I was, I got up and I fed the baby. Then I went to bed. The next night came and baby was crying. I was so tired, and my wife said, "Mike, baby's crying. Feed the baby." I said, "I did last night and the night before." "No, I did last night and the night before." She really needs to grow on the Lord. And so I said, "Okay, fine," because I'm such a giant in the faith. I got up and I fed the baby. Now the third night came and she says, "Mike, feed the baby." And I'm not exaggerating. Now she doesn't remember it this way, but this is how it was. And so anyway, I said, "Fine, I'll feed the baby." And I got up and I was so mad. And I said, "I'll feed the baby." And I was just like, I did it two nights in a row. And I looked for anything I could hit. And I put my fist, just to vent, right through a door. Now, it was a cabinet door, so don't be too impressed. But when it happened, I mean, I thought a number of things. First thing I thought is, wow, how am I going to explain this to the preacher? Isn't that kind of silly how the first thing we think about is, how am I going to cover up how stupid I look? But that's what I did. Then I thought, well, I'll tell him I fell. And then I thought, well, it's up here. I'll tell him I fell up. And then I thought, man, that's not going to work. So I finally, later on, he was a woodworker, and he was coming in to see my trailer. I'd already told him. I said, "Brother, I got to show you something." I said, "Can you help me fix this?" I said, "I am totally embarrassed. I got in my flesh, and I put my fist through this thing, and I am so ashamed." But that came later, and he forgave me, and he helped me, and he still let me preach the rest of the week. Now, that was years ago, like I said. Now I'm perfect. I still struggle with flesh. But anyway, I go through this thing. How am I going to explain this to the preacher? And I thought, man, how am I going to do this? And I thought, I got to fix this. And then I got to thinking about how wrong I was. And I thought, Mike, what is wrong with you? And I thought, Mike, if you get out of control like this and you put your fist through a door like this, one of these days, if you don't get this thing fixed, you're going to put your fist into your wife. And I thought, I don't ever want to do that. I love my wife. But I realized there's something wrong with me. So I thought, boy, you better cool down. So I got into a shower. I was cooling down thinking, what is wrong with me? What is wrong with me? And it's like God said, that's your flesh. So I came out and I said, Becky, I'm sorry. We got to pray. I shouldn't have done that. And I said, let's pray. And she didn't want to pray. You know why she didn't want to pray? Because I wasn't much of a spiritual leader. But I got down by her on the bed and I said, Lord, forgive me. Help me to walk in the Spirit or I'm going to ruin my family. And I didn't pray and help Becky to take responsibility more seriously with a baby. I just prayed, help me to get over my flesh or I'm going to ruin my family. And do you know what? I got up and I just tried to walk in the Spirit. And after a while, my wife saw I was a different man. Praise God. Walk in the Spirit or walk in the flesh. And the only way to change is you got to figure out what's wrong with you. Anybody in this room have anger? Anybody in this room have lust? You got to get rid of those roadblocks between you and God. But you got to do it by being on offense, walking in the Spirit. After that happened with my wife, my kids were growing up. And I'd always tell them when they get a little angry, I'd say, what's that? They'd say, that's my flesh. Because I learned what fixed me and it fixed them. They'd get angry with each other. Hey, kids, what's going on here? That's my flesh. You're right. One day I was in the car with my wife, and after that, a couple years, I was driving somewhere, and I was talking to my wife, and I love my wife. I have the best wife in the world. Yours is okay, but mine is the best in the world. I really do. I think, wow, I had that woman. Amazing woman. She's sick, but she walks with God. She's happy when she's sick. That's showing what she's really made out of. Okay? Now, I was in a car with my wife, and we're driving somewhere, and I told her something, and she said something back that was in disagreement, and I said, well, blah, blah, blah. And she said, blah, blah, blah. And she wasn't really out, but I was. I was getting like, why in the world don't you get this? And I'm up there, and I said, no, we're not going to do that. No, I said, no, I don't understand this. I just don't get it. And then my daughter is in the back, and she says, Daddy. I said, what? And she said, that's your flesh. And you know what I said? I said, you know why? Because we're all growing. I said, honey, you are right. And I've learned if I walk in the Spirit, I'll do a whole lot better. And so will we all. Good men becoming better men, and the only way we can do it, the only factor that can possibly change us is the supernatural. Let's bow our heads. How many of you would say, Brother Mike, I needed this, and I'm going to ask this, is there anybody who would still say, I don't know I'm going to heaven, but I want to get to that personal relationship with God, I want to be saved? If there's anybody like that, you take the initiative, if you will, and come see me or come see Pastor. We'll help you. Don't be embarrassed. You're a good man, but you just don't know you're going to heaven. Now, how many of you would say, Brother Mike, I needed this, and I struggle sometimes with these fleshly sins? Now, I'm not going to ask you details, but can I be general? It could be as simple as the mind going where it shouldn't go. I've got to battle that and keep it right. It could be you've decayed to some other things. We don't need to know the details, but we do need to get right with God. And admitting it before God is the first step. So with heads bowed, if there's anybody who would say, Brother Mike, I'm walking in my flesh. I find myself struggling with the sensual area. It could just be the mind. That's all I'm going to think, because I have struggles too, and I have to keep it right. So if you'd say, I struggle with the mind sometime or something else in the area of the sensual, I want to get that right, admit it before God, that's my flesh, and I want to walk in the Spirit, not in my flesh. If you will, just nod your head before God or raise a hand before God, put it down, and it'll do you so good to acknowledge that before God. I'm not a God hater. I'm not a loser. I don't have the inability to do better. That's my flesh. And I let it take control. Now, I'm going to say, no flesh, yes, God. I'm going to do better because He's going to enable me to do better. Secondly, how many would say, Brother Mike, I struggle with the area of a temperamental sin like you do. I have anger issues and I argue. And I know what that is. That's P-R-I-D-E, pride. And it's not acceptable. And I got to get that pride out and just walk in the Spirit. Would you slip up a hand if anybody here is struggling with that anger issue like I did? Good, good, good. And you want to surrender that and walk in the Spirit offensively. And then, is there anybody would say in general, Brother Mike, there's another area of my flesh, I don't even know what it is, but another area where I struggle with the flesh, from the cigarette, from the drinking, to whatever it might be, idolatry, putting things above God, from the boat to the RV to the golf game, do other things like that. If you'd say there's another area in my flesh God's pointing out to me that I am struggling with, and I'm going to admit that before God, and I'm going to ask for God to help me walk in the Spirit and surrender to Him. Would you just lift up a hand if there's something else? God bless you. 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 Brother Boyer, I'm going to let you close as you see fit. I'm out of my time.
Your bowed eyes are closed. We won't go long. You may have raised your hand. You may not have. I have no idea. It's between you and the Lord. Just before we slip off and head to lunch, you raised your hand in any area, or maybe you didn't. Maybe you just in your heart acknowledged it. Would you confess that to God right now? Simple, plain terms. God knows the heart. He hears you. Call it what it is. Confess that sin. Say it exactly what He says it. Lord, I forgive me for you fill in the blank. I hate it. I'm forsaking it. I don't want to do it again. I'm claiming forgiveness.
blood of Lord Jesus Christ.
If we can, it might even be good again. Those who want to, get on a knee and take it to God from the knee.
Amen. Sometimes we get embarrassed, but the Bible says pride cometh before our fall, destruction, and it makes you proud to be humble before the Lord. God would have you kneel, slip to the front. Sometimes the heart's pounding, say, oh my goodness, what would people think? Well, let's just not worry about what people think. Let's worry about what God thinks. Let's get that right before God. God resists the proud, but gives grace unto the humble. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed between you and the Lord. We can go to lunch with a clean heart, clean mind, clean conscience before God. Be prepared for that final session. Lord, thank you for your promises and your word, Lord. If we walk in the Spirit, we will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Lord, thank you. You didn't leave it to our own mind, but Lord, you showed us in the Scriptures. Lord, I thank you for men and young men here that are willing and are willing to get things right with you, Lord. Thank you for the conviction that you send through your Spirit. Lord, and I thank you for forgiveness of sins, cleansing. Lord, I pray you'd help us to walk in your Spirit, Lord, to do the things that your Spirit loves. It's laid out in the Scriptures. Lord, if we need to get some help and counsel, I pray that, Lord, after lunch, during some free time, we'd, Lord, be humble enough to see our pastor, perhaps, or see someone here that's, well, not perfect, but yet has shown that they have a walk with God, that we could answer some questions from the Bible, pray together, take the next steps, maybe have to get some help and going back home. And Lord, I pray that if you've shown us any of these areas, we'd be willing to follow up, Lord. Perhaps getting with our wife when we get home, our children, a friend, maybe someone we've got to get right with. We lied to, we deceived, our work, whatever it may be, Lord. I pray we'd be willing to obey and follow that the whole way through. And we do love you and we do thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Oh.